Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Do you know your biological age and how does it compare to your actual age? Well, there's a variety of tests being offered now by companies to help determine this figure, but does knowing your biological age make any difference? Well, Brian O'Connell has been looking at this for us, and Brian is here. Hello, Brian.
Morning.
Does it make any difference?
I'm glad I put the extra moisturiser on this morning.
So am I. Glad for you, you know, because you could be on camera in here or anything.
Exactly. There is like a whole range of tests you can get. So you can get a swab taken, and they say that they can determine your biological age versus your actual age. But I suppose, look, the basic things, if you've been looking after yourself, if you've been eating the right foods, minimizing stress, let's say you're in your 40s, let's say you get a biological age in your 30s, maybe mid-30s or younger, you're going to be very happy. But I suppose there's a word of caution with this, because some academics I've been speaking to, they would say the jury is still out on one-off tests like this and just how accurate they actually might be. And I did speak to people as well about aging and just get people to tell me their aging secrets.
All right, well, we'll be very excited to hear about all of that. But we're going to start with the signs. You spoke to an expert tracking aging within a large group, and this person has issued a warning about some of these biological age tests.
Yes, that I'm being inundated with on Instagram for some reason. I must be whatever algorithm is working. So Colin McCrory is Professor of Life Course Development and Aging at Trinity, and he's co-principal investigator of the Irish Longitudinal Study on Aging, which is called the TILDA study. So they're essentially following 7,000 people. They're studying how this cohort are aging and what factors are involved. Now, I began by asking him about this concept of biological age.
We know that there's individual differences in the pace at which people age. We see this if 30 years later we go back to a school event or something, and you might look at one of your colleagues who's aging quite gracefully, and you might look at another and wonder, wow, has something happened? We might speculate about what causes that, right? It might have been their lifestyle. It might have been stress. What distinguishes or what causes those differences in the pace at which we age? So most of us measure our aging, obviously, by the number of candles we blow out in our birthday cake. But biological aging is, if I could go into your tissues and your cells right down there to the molecular level, I can actually date how old you are biologically.
I'm being targeted on social media by these biological aging tests. So companies are targeting me, obviously, and telling me that they can determine my biological age. Now, I'm happy to find that out if it's younger.
So these tests are not yet reliable enough for use at the individual level. For me at the moment, and based on the science that I have seen, they're for the curious. So we know, for example, I've seen stories before where Ronaldo says, again, another individual who's in really good shape, and when he dates himself, biologically, he's aging really well on these clocks. He's younger than the number of candles on his birthday cake. What I will tell you, so some of the work that we have done, imagine you decided, Brian, that you're going to get this done over 30 consecutive days. So we took a blood sample from you over 30 consecutive days. You wouldn't necessarily get the same age estimate back. So one day, if you were 40 years of age, we might say, oh, Brian's doing pretty well. He's 38. And you go, oh, I'll take that. But you measure 2 days later and now you look 45.
Okay. So he's issuing caution around some of these newer tests being offered and the claims then being made around aging.
Yeah, if you have a look at the science, so about 10 years ago, the big focus was on telomeres. So these are little caps which are at the end of chromosomes. So every time you divide, you lose some of these strands. So people were saying if, like, they're like a clock, if you like, they measure your biological aging. But people who would have these who would be shortened tend to be in worse health. So it's a sort of a guide, if you like. But now I suppose what's in vogue is DNA testing. In 2020, there was research done using DNA that was said to be able to better predict mortality. This was called the Grim Age. It was like the Grim Age clock. I did ask Professor McCrory if, even if we get this accurate biological age, can we do anything about impacting aging?
Many of the things that influence the pace of aging is under your control. So being physically active is associated with slower aging. Not smoking, not drinking, or if you do drink, consuming moderate quantities, right? Get a good night's sleep, eat a good diet. And if you're lucky enough, be affluent, be wealthy, right? Because it allows you to do lots of those things. Being socially engaged, what we actually found is individuals who had more friends were aging more slowly.
You don't need a fancy DNA test to tell you what you need to do, or to tell you that if you stay socially engaged, if you stay active, you perhaps may live longer.
Exactly. And what we also find too is that individuals who have a positive disposition in life, right? So these are people who have a purpose in life, right? They tell us like they have enjoyment of doing things, like, you know, they believe they exert control over their environments, right? These people turn and go, oh yeah, I've got the ability to solve any problems I face in my life and so on. They're aging slower when we measure them on these clocks. I don't believe in the quackery and some of the gimmicks that I have seen on particular websites. It takes many, many studies to say, okay, this is a reliable finding, right?
Have you found out what your Grim Reaper age is?
I haven't. Not something I'm particularly compelled to do. I would probably do it out of curiosity, but perhaps because I know that these things are not ready for individual level use yet.
What was that old Star Trek saying, live long and prosper?
Live long and prosper, indeed.
So that's Professor Cathal McCrory there in Trinity College. Now, just before we hear from someone working in an industry, Claire, where I suppose ageing is sometimes frowned upon, I did ask some people in Cork City last night whether they felt their age.
No, I feel younger.
So can I ask, what age are you?
I am 30.
What age do you feel?
Probably about 26 or 27. I feel like I lost some years because of COVID.
And do you think about aging?
Not at all. It doesn't bother me one bit. I kind of expect to be able to move out of the parents' house by now and stuff, but I just can't because of whatever reasons. So I guess maybe that makes me feel younger than I am as well. Yeah, like I think my parents, by my age, they moved out and they're already planning to have children and stuff, which I just can't yet. Like,
I'm a musician, right? I feel about 21.
What age are you?
55.
When you see 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, do you think to yourself sometimes, I wish I was back there again? Or
no, I don't.
Why not?
No, I don't. I have three youngsters, young fellas, they're in their 20s. Like, I wouldn't wish it, you know?
What's the secret to aging well, do you think?
Living life every day as it comes. Don't be worrying about things in the past. Just people my age are being buried left, right and centre around me. Fellas younger than me. Fellas have worries and...
You're doing a job also, you're passionate about that.
Yeah. I was teaching music for 30 years. And the lockdown stopped it. I'm playing 4 or 5 nights a week here for the tourists, and they want to come in and listen to me, and, you know, so I'm living the dream.
Yeah, he's right, living the dream. So doing what he wants, enjoying life and not worrying.
Minimising stress. Mm.
And then the 30-year-old who doesn't feel old, well, you're 30, so... You're not old. You got a long way to go. Although I do understand the worries he has around getting a house. That's very common among that age group. Now, Brian, you mentioned that you spoke to someone who has been very upfront about her age, even though she works in an industry which sometimes can almost be in denial about aging and what's going on.
I think that's fair to say. Christina Aston, she's all about living as full and healthy a life as possible. So she's a mentor, a health coach and a model. We began talking about the modelling industry and ageing.
The pressure is always there to, you know, maintain your looks. And, you know, some people might say that over 35, you're, you know, kind of past it.
You know, sometimes I think there's a tendency, particularly in that world, to suppress your age.
What's the point in hiding your age or lying about your age, right? I think it's a denial of your wisdom and your learned truth and all the work that you've done. And, you know, I'm 44, I turned 44 2 weeks ago. I'm single at the moment, been single for quite a while. Of course, as a woman, there's a biological clock and it's ticking, and it is quite loud, but sometimes you just need to just drown it out with, you know, there's many ways to live a life.
So tell me about the practical steps then to make us all stay feeling and looking youthful and perhaps pushing back a little bit against the natural aging process.
Sleep is one of the biggest things. So it's really difficult for shift workers, for example, you know, and waking up within 30 minutes of the same time every morning and going to sleep within 30 minutes of the same time every evening. And then as far as I'm concerned, I think that we should be filling up on plants and whole foods as much as possible. Resistance training is one of the key factors in aging well and aging healthily.
What about the cosmetic industry?
You know what? Modern science has given us some gifts.
You're not going to turn them down. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
I'm not going to turn them down. And I do Botox, minimum Botox. It's not something that I would hide. It's not something that I'm like raving about, but you know, it is toxins at the end of the day, but choose your poison. And I choose a little bit of Botox every 6 months or so, but that's about all I get.
Christina Aston, who looks incredible, we have to say, but she also, you know, mentions the reliables, the good sleep, the diet, resistance training. Did you do these tests? Did you take one of these biological aging tests?
Well, I didn't, because Colin McCrory kind of put me off of it, and I think they take a couple of weeks for it to come true, so I wasn't sure about it. She was talking about Botox there about 15 years ago, I remember, for the Irish Times. I took Botox and I went home. My wife said I looked like a chipmunk.
So you didn't do it again, did you not?
I didn't do it again. What?
You didn't go back to it?
No, I didn't go back to it.
No, I can die. I don't think you have any Botox. I do think once you do it, everyone knows, you know.
You have to keep doing
it. And it's
it.
The same yeah. with filler or any of those things or the lip treatments. Everybody kind of will know that you've had it done. So if you want to make that decision, that's fine.
And once it's subtle enough, I suppose, where people aren't questioning it and they just think you look young and you've had plenty of sleep and all those things.
You still know you've had it done. That's my view on it anyway. Brian, thanks so much.
Yes,
Brian O'Connell there. Coming up next, how Europe is preparing for record-breaking heat this summer.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.